This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. Brian Rowitz off this week. We got me, Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee and from ESPN 1000 in Chicago, my guy Jonathan Hood. We didn't even know this. We ended up taking in the Brewers game together yesterday, Hood. We ended up unknown to one another, literally just one row apart in the same section at American Family Field yesterday. So we got a little in-person time yesterday.
It's so good to see my friend Gabe Neitzel there, being able to take in the Brewers game. A businessman, businesswoman special. You have to do them both now. The afternoon special of taking in, watching the Brewers in Milwaukee. I was so happy to walk in to probably my second favorite stadium, AmFam Field, because it's so comfortable and cool. Brewers shirt on, representing the Milwaukee Brewers, because that's what I do. And so I had a good time. I always have a good time in Milwaukee.
Yeah, so it was good to hang out yesterday. We got a lot of wrestling to dive into. We got SummerSlam coming up this weekend. We had an AEW World Championship match last night, but where we begin is actually outside of the ring. WWE Unreal, debuting on Netflix earlier this month. A couple episodes have come out. Some reviews are starting to pour in. Is Unreal and the peek behind the curtain ultimately going to be good or bad for the WWE?
Okay, so it's good for business because people want to know more. It's good for their business. LFG, also a show that they are running as far as the next generation of WWE talent. That's good for the business. It's just not good for me. It's a bad question for me, Gabe. You know why? Because I'm old school. I don't want to know. I just don't. And maybe you could talk me into it, but I'll just tell you where I stand with this. When I found out it's going to be something called Unreal, meaning that it is the behind the scenes of WrestleMania or the behind the scenes of a PLE of WWE, and the opponents actually talk to one another, that you see Triple H and company in Gorilla talking through who's going to win, who's going to lose. Dude, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But here's the thing. It's kind of like what we see with NFL films where it's stuff or the quarterback special on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Stuff's already happened, so they're just going back and backtracking the lead up to what happened. So I get that. I just don't want to know the inner workings of it. It's professional wrestling. This is like a movie. I don't need to see the documentary after the movie's been shot. If there's a story that I can read in a magazine or online about it, fine. But professional wrestling is to the point where, and since I've been watching so long, I just enjoy the matches for what they are. You and I and Brian can go back and forth and thumbs up or thumbs down whether the creative was good or bad, was the match good or bad. But as far as the working out, what's happening with the matches and having the opponents together, I'm not a child. I understand that works, but I don't need to see it on my TV. That's the point.
Yeah, For me, I think it's something that I'm going to pay attention to when stories come out of it. Like, for me, it's not appointment television. I'm not going to sit down and, new episode of Unreal comes out. I'm going to be sitting down. I'm going to be watching it. Like, for example, one of the things that had kind of gone around within the last 7 days on social media, the whiteboard that had the original plans for WrestleMania, you know, where it looked CM Punk versus Gunther, which obviously didn't happen. It was just supposed to be a one-on-one match with Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins. We're now getting Gunther versus Punk at SummerSlam, and just kind of how, you know, plans change. But as a wrestling fan, I already knew that. You know, card is always subject to change, whether that's injury, whether that's creative direction. Maybe so that's interesting to see what, you know, Triple H's and the creative team's original plan for WrestleMania was. But then the other part about this is there was a video clip of like the entire WWE women's locker room, like out celebrating Charlotte after she won the Royal Rumble. And apparently there is now a story out there that the talent was told, hey, you need to come out and be cheering on Charlotte after she wins. They didn't know for what. They were just told, and then it comes out like, oh, it's for Unreal. So Unreal ends up being actually Unreal because now you're manufacturing these moments behind the scenes. It's not a true peek behind the curtain. It's a little bit. They're going to let you see what they want you to see, but it's kind of, to me, it's a lot like the WrestleMania stuff that they've done, like after the fact, you know, where they've done the one with Rock and Cody and a big, you know, they did that for WrestleMania 40, big peek behind the curtain, what it was like. But it's, but Rock has creative control. So now you're only getting a part of the story, right? So that's my issue is it's going to drum up some interest. I think some stories are going to come out of it. I don't know how many people are going to be watching on a week-to-week basis to make it worth it for WWE to produce it and for Netflix to put it out there. But, you know, again, maybe this is just one of those things. I realized a long time ago, and this is not just for professional wrestling, and I think more people need to realize this, not everything is made for you. Like, everybody thinks everything's supposed to be made specifically for them. That's not how any of the entertainment works. Like, and maybe, you know, this is one of those things, WWE in real. Okay, it's not for me. And it's fine. If you want to watch it, go ahead. But I just don't think you're getting the true peek behind the curtain that they're advertising. So if that's going to be untruthful, to me, what's the point?
Well, that it is, right? Truth in advertising. The title is unreal. So even the work is a work.
Yeah, exactly. there's too many levels of the work, man. I can't keep up.
See, it's too much work. Now here, you can call me hypocritical if you like. But let's bring it to sports, because this is what you and I do on a daily basis. So I've been watching Netflix quarterback for this season. Mm-hmm. And Kirk Cousins, I know you talked about on ESPN Radio. I know I've talked about it as well, about Kirk Cousins says, I felt like I was misled by going from Minnesota to Atlanta, thinking that he was going to be the starting quarterback, you know, full stop. Well, as we watch quarterback, and I've been watching it, they were winning some, but it was by a slim margin. And he kept talking about, in the actual documentary, guys, the terminology, I don't get it. I don't know if you've seen it, Gabe, but it's like,
I have not.
No, he keeps saying to the coaching staff, okay, the terminology, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. And you know what? He didn't, because if you watched some of those games last year, the Falcons barely got by in some games, and some games he just wasn't good. That's why Michael Penix took over as the quarterback, because Cousins had a hard time. He said on that documentary, I felt like I was misled. Well, for you and I, that's headlines. Okay, good. That seems like more real, because it comes from the person that's not scripted. Scripted, but not scripted. And so I like that more, if I'm going to watch them like that, more so than WWE or pro wrestling documentaries, because I don't know what's true and what's fake.
Oh, and same thing with like Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks for the Bills, episode one is going to be coming out on Tuesday. And with Hard Knocks, like some seasons I'll watch, some seasons I won't. You know, I was really into the Lions and I was really fascinated with Dan Campbell as a head coach, right? And I mean, some teams just seem to be more fascinating than others. Like, I've got a really good friend who's a Bills fan, so I might just kind of pay attention to see what the Bills look like on Hard Knocks this season. But I kind of look at it the same as that. And honestly, I probably have a better time watching Hard Knocks, even though some of those things are contrived and manufactured. Like, I still remember one of the earliest seasons of Hard Knocks when they had the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chiefs were the team. Herm Edwards was still the coach, so that's how long ago it was. Like, Herm wasn't this media personality. He was still coaching in the NFL. Like, I remember the storyline of the fullback who made the roster. Like, he was this fringe guy. They followed him the entire time, and then he made it. Like, that was awesome. That was cool to see, but you know that's actually, like, real, because this guy's battling for this thing. When it comes to WWE Unreal, okay, now are they having this conversation just because the camera's there? Is this the actual conversation that they would have, or is this... okay, we had the conversation for the Netflix camera. Now let's actually have the real conversation that we need to have, that's actually the one behind the scenes. And that's, again, that's the beauty of professional wrestling, right? Sometimes you work yourself into a shoot, you shoot yourself into a work, and there's enough of that going on with the 10 hours plus of wrestling that we watch each and every week. I just don't need to add more. I'm getting worked into my life at this point for WWE Unreal.
Same thing. So the same conversation we could have about Charlotte and Tiffy. We talked about it on GKW, right? How uncomfortable that was in Chicago. Real? Work? Don't know. We just know that it was strange. If nothing else, it was odd. But maybe that was part of the Unreal taping as well. I think that Triple H said something about that. I saw a clip of Triple H saying, was real, what was not, right?
Remember? And it's come out with Charlotte's done some interviews where she was surprised by what Tiffy had said to her. So at the very least, Tiffy did not run the 0-3 in divorces line past her, which, again, is not good. But we don't need to really relitigate that. But yeah, it's, again, like, what? How much of this conversation is real? How much of it is fake? I just don't want to go ahead and parse through that. And if it was a true look behind, maybe I'd find that a little bit more interesting. But because I think they're going to, because WWE and it's pro wrestling, they're going to contrive some things, because that's just, that's just what they do. I'm good on WWE Unreal. And again, it seems like a lot of the older school wrestlers just don't seem to like it. Some of the older, you know, not necessarily guys that are going to be on the show, but the old school guys, like, should we really be allowing a peek behind the curtain like this?
So what about GKW? Is this real or is it scripted?
Oh, this is 100% real. If we had a script, like, do you have a script? Because I don't.
I do not.
Like, no, maybe I'm getting worked on GKW. No, you just have notes.
I got a yellow pad. that's because I'm old and got to be able to follow the format. otherwise, no, it's not scripted.
A lot of other things we want to dive into, including the real professional wrestling stuff going on right now. We call it the three count here on GKW. So let's go ahead and start with the show of the weekend, the match that we all assume is going to be closing out the show on Sunday. John Cena. Is he going to be dropping the title to Cody Rhodes in their street fight at SummerSlam?
Yes, there's no reason for John Cena to continue to be champion. It's been a nice run for Cena, the experiment of him being a heel. But Gabe, you know that on a grand stage like MetLife Stadium, you want fireworks in the sky to end the show. Cody being able to have the championship, I think, is the right call. Now the question is that the end of the show, or does someone else come to capture that championship after Cody wins it? I think that's the big question mark that we have on whether or not talk about what's real and what's a work. You know, the same thing with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins says he has a knee injury. In the next couple of days, he's on the Rich Eisen show. And it's just like, oh, I got to do the Rich Eisen. Okay, let me explain what's going on here. Like, I felt a twinge. And so now let's talk about LeBron James. So now, you know, that's a big question mark. But I think the time's right, right? It's going to be early August. It's been a nice run for Cena to have the championship, but it's time. Could you imagine a retention in front of that audience with John Cena retaining the title? I don't think that'd be great.
But also, I feel like they do need something at the end, at least a challenger to come out for Cody. And maybe that's when you do the Cena face turn. Like, Cena can make the save for Cody, and then Cena can be a babyface for the rest of his run. Because Cena feels like, to me, not that he would necessarily want it, but I, as a fan, like, we just saw Goldberg go out on his back, right? Like, that's how he went. That's his last match. We saw Bryan Danielson a little over a year ago go out on his back, or a little under a year ago at this point, go out on his back, right? Because he's an old school guy. That's how he's going to go out. But I look at Cena more kind of the same way I look at Sting. Like, Sting wanted to go out on his back, and Tony Khan and everyone around him went, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to send you off with a victory, and everyone's going to go crazy, and it's going to be fantastic. And I feel that last Cena match in December, he should be going out victorious. You know, we should be hearing his song blaring through the speakers, everybody being able to give him this great thing. So, you know, he has the run as the champion, as the heel. He can take the loss, give it back to Cody here, and then go on a babyface run for the last handful of months that he's with WWE. That's what makes most sense to me. But in terms of closing out the show, because we've seen Cody win, like, not that's underwhelming, but the story here hasn't been super strong. Like, Cody earned the right through King of the Ring, and so he gets his championship match. But in order to kind of have that, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen on Raw tomorrow night, I feel someone needs to come out, whether it's Seth cashing in or whether it's somebody coming out to let Cody know, hey, I'm coming for you. I feel like that's what the end of this show needs. Versus, obviously, when Cody was able to finish the story, him just going over Roman was fantastic, euphoric, and great. Because we've already had that, I want a little bit more, even though I feel Cody going over and winning this match is the right call.
Yeah, and as far as John Cena is concerned, this is his last year, as we all know. Him being the champion matters to a lot of people. For him to have one more run, the quote-unquote eclipsing Ric Flair's championship, that's a work also. We're going to start doing that, by the way. We're going to tell you what's real and unreal in wrestling. And the idea that Cena's got more championship runs than Ric Flair also is unreal. That is not true. Rick's got up in the 20s. There's been championship title changes off of TV that I can document. One in Puerto Rico, one in Japan, there's a few others. Jefferson City, Missouri. Like, I made that one up. But there's been some title changes that happened that have been undocumented. So that's not the case. But I think it's good for the Cena fan. You know, they've been on this run for him. For him to lose a championship now, I think it'd be great. And I think I agree. I think we predicted this a while back. This is a Sergeant Slaughter, I want my country back situation for John Cena. I know I've been mean to you. I've said some things, but I was frustrated. And he can explain it. And then the fans still will have the same feeling. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. It's not going to change. So the ones that were kind of like on the fence, like, I don't know if Cena really likes him. Those are the kids, right? The kids will accept him back. The adults still think he sucks. But I think it's great, though. So I think that it's right for Cody. But here's the other question I want to ask you, because Cody told Kay Adams, you remember this during WrestleMania season, that maybe my babyface run is coming to an end. Does that mean
And kind of like Seth, he just all of a sudden backtracked it. Like, oh, no, there's a lot of meat left on the bone. You know, he kind of backtracked quickly because maybe he said, again, we love Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes came on our show and we were told not to ask about AEW and he started talking about AEW. So, you know, like sometimes I think Cody just starts talking and riffing, which kind of makes his podcast fun, because if he's not supposed to talk about something, he either doesn't care or is blissfully unaware. So I think Cody can say some things where it's like, oh, probably wasn't supposed to say that. Oops. And then, you know, and then that maybe that's why he backtracks that. Cody, again, Cody is a heel. Yeah, maybe that becomes interesting. Maybe that's how it ends. Cody goes over, Cena extends the hand, and it ends up being a double turn, right? And you can do that way. Because also the thing with Cena here, at this point, who's left for Cena to face?
Yeah.
Like, who's left for John Cena to face in his last championship? We saw against Randy Orton. We saw him against CM Punk. Obviously here with Cody Rhodes, like there's the lists. I mean, the R-Truth stuff was fun. I just don't think there's anybody left that we really need to see him go up against in a world championship run. So I think a double turn would be really interesting if they could figure out a way to do that. It's always tricky to do that in the middle of a match. And again, maybe you can do it afterwards where, you know, Cena extends the hand and gets attacked and, Cody's now kind of has more heel tendencies. That would be interesting because Cody could be, I think, one of those cool heels. You know, usually you're kind of skeptical about making that heel turn. Cena talked about it, you know, the first time they were planning on doing it, you know, about a decade ago, they were going to turn him heel and he had the gear made up. He recorded a new song for himself and he was kind of worried about, okay, I guess I'm not going to be selling as much gear. But the Cody Rhodes, and again, maybe WWE fans are unaware of this. I know we're aware of this just as pro wrestling fans. The Cody Rhodes that helped build AEW, that sold out the Now Arena in Chicago to build up the first All In, the one that went to New Japan Pro Wrestling, he had black hair and was a heel.
Yeah.
He was a heel on the indies there for a while, and he was kind of a cool heel when he was with the Bullet Club. So I think Cody can still sell merchandise. The American Nightmare tattoo, again, you put that on a black t-shirt and make him a bad guy, like that's still going to sell. Like Cody's still going to sell merch. So I think you don't have to worry about, I think, making that hard sell to Cody of, hey, if we make you a heel, I think he could still be a cool heel that people get behind, even if he is a bad guy.
I'd like to harp on one point that you made regarding John Cena. And we may not have time today, but I think at some point we have to have the discussion. When you talk about John Cena, you say, well, who else could he face? Well, that's a problem in the company. That's a problem because you just mentioned a number of baby faces that John Cena met that he faced in his return. Okay, that's a problem because usually in that spot when you're John Cena and you're a veteran wrestler, you're supposed to be putting the younger talent over, or you're supposed to have good matches with the younger talent to boost them. And so if the well is dry in that regard, that's a WWE roster issue. I know that they really like to rely on the veteran talent first, Gabe, you know, because that's what they believe in. Guys have been there and done that. But ultimately, this company has to be able to start looking at young talent on the men's side, in which you don't feel like, oh, well, you know, Cena's going to have to end this run because there's no one else left. That's not good.
No, and we've had that conversation, I feel, Hood, about the WWE roster and how it skews a little bit older. Yeah, Bron Breakker's younger, and that's great. But even someone like Jacob Fatu, it's It's not like Jacob Fatu's in his 20s. Like, he's been around for a while, like, independently before he arrived in WWE. Like, a lot of the roster that you are seeing on a consistent basis at the youngest is in their mid to late 30s. Like, a lot of these guys are getting closer to 40 and are over 40 that are on the WWE roster. The youth of this roster on the men's side. Now, on the women's side, we're starting to see a few more certainly get featured, whether that's Roxanne Perez, Julia, Lyra Valkyria, like, all having pretty prominent spots. But on the men's side, I mean, outside of Bron Breakker, I mean, again, because, like, even the guys they brought in from AEW, it's not like the Lucha Bros are spring chickens. They've been around for a minute. You know, Andrade's not young. So it is a roster. I think it is something on the men's side that they've got to look at. Okay, why don't we have younger talent? Why don't we feel comfortable with having some of this youth on the roster? Because, again, like, I think of, you know, I mean, that the OVW class that everybody likes to talk about always is Cena and Orton and Lesnar, who all kind of came in together. But even in the 90s, during the Attitude Era, after everybody left, like, Austin was young, Rock was young, Triple H was young. Like, they had guys in their 20s and early 30s that were then carrying the company. And they don't even have, like, those late 20s, early 30s guys really right now. Bron Breakker is basically it.
Meanwhile, AEW has a lot of youth on their side. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's a lot of miles because of the indie dates and UK and Japan for a number of these guys, but they have younger talent. And they still got an even more younger roster down on the roster in ROH as well. So they had the leg up in that regard as far as their future, depending on how you want to book it.
Yeah, so that's something that they certainly have to do. So let's go ahead and move on to number two. We'll go over to AEW, where we saw, in my eyes, a fantastic world championship match that, interestingly enough, wasn't the main event, although they ended up getting, you know, some of those participants from that event evolved in the main event as well. But we saw last night on AEW television, Dynamite, in your city of Chicago, Hangman Adam Page defend that championship against Jon Moxley and the Death Riders. So the question becomes, who eventually takes that championship off of Hangman Adam Page?
Well, I would have made it to Dynamite if I wasn't in the parking lot at AmFam Field for 90 minutes. I could have been. You got a parking problem there, sir. There's a parking problem there. I know we were on a bus.
That's the problem. When you're on the bus in that lot, I was stuck in that lot. I did not move for an hour when I went to the game on Monday. That lot, it's tough. You got cars. It's a lawless place. Like, there's trying to get out of there is so incredibly hard. If you were in where I was, the regular preferred parking, or even just the regular parking, easier to get out of that one lot. They have not been able to figure out. I don't understand
Brother, we were wedged in there for a while. First of all, it's cool and rainy, okay, in the Midwest. So then you're on the bus, and you know, for the Cubs Milwaukee game, and I'm just like, we're not moving. We're not moving at all. Like, it's just like, we're just wedged in there on the bus and like, oh my God. And then another 45 minutes to get to the expressway. So that's tough. And I'm used to being moving a little faster at AmFam Field. That was tough. So I could have made it. If we got out of there, I could have probably made it to Dynamite at 6:30. But I'm like, well, didn't get back in the city until after 7. So I watched it at home. So, and I'm all good with that. Big screen TV to watch Jon Moxley against Hangman Adam Page. You could just tell that they were going to go early and have standby matches afterwards, which was cool. It's all good. It was a really good show, I thought. But I think the odds-on favorite is MJF, but I feel like there might be someone else that we're missing. MJF is in the camera a lot with that contract looming. But I feel like maybe we should go a little bit further on down the line with odds other than MJF.
Yeah, I'm with you there because MJF seems to be next. But honestly, Hangman looks really strong right now. After A, defeating Mox at All In, and then defeating Mox in just a straight-up wrestling match, where both guys looked really strong. I thought they both walked away looking great. I enjoyed it, and I know I have been, so maybe this is hypocritical of me, I've been more critical of, seems like both companies in these title matches just want to have schmozzy finishes, but I enjoyed, last night it made sense that with everything the Death Riders have done, oh, referee's down, let's see if we can capitalize, right? Like, that made sense storyline-wise, they're thwarted away, Darby Allin jumping out of the rafters was cool, but then you still got a relatively clean finish in the ring with Hangman going over. So I thought that was fantastic. But, you know, I don't know who it is. I think that you should go on a decent run here with Hangman Adam Page. I think you want to ride that out. And I know MJF is right there. I know Tony Khan is on the record of, well, this wasn't the original plan, but he listened to the fans and the reaction. So I don't know if eventually they want to get Darby an opportunity, but Darby versus Hangman doesn't make sense. It's babyface versus babyface.
Well, you know what? Maybe the next champion will be a babyface. You know, AEW is not beholden to those rules, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would say, like, what if our guy Kyle Fletcher was able to take that next step? And I guess another question that we could ask is AEW better when a babyface or a heel is leading the company as champion?
Whew.
We've had Jericho, we've had Hangman Page, we have Samoa Joe, yeah. We've had Swerve, we've had MJF.
Mox, a lot of Mox,
CM Punk. When is AEW best? Is it a heel company or is it a babyface company? It seems like it's a lot of heat. So it seems more heel than babyface at the top, yeah. Right?
I feel like in general, the hottest stories are always when you've got a hot babyface chasing. So based on that, business is good is when you have a heel champion. And business has been picking up, like when Jericho won, when they were hot to start, Jericho was a heel champion. When they've started to gain some momentum here over, you know, these months in 2025, they had a heel champion because they're telling that story of the babyface coming up. Obviously in WWE, I think you can make the same case. Like Roman Reigns as a heel and the Bloodline as a heel, things were hot. So I'm curious to see if they can stay hot with a babyface champion, because that is something I think is always, no matter what company you are, it's always tough to continue that storyline after your hot babyface goes up and over.
Okay, so I give you Kyle Fletcher, I give you Takeshita. So I guess I'm looking at Don Callis family members at the top because they're wrestling at a high level right now, those guys, mm-hmm. right? Takeshita's yeah. in the G1. Kyle Fletcher is always in our TV. He's going to be wrestling on Thursday. I'm going to Collision on Thursday night. So we got to check that out as well. But I like MJF is chalk. I'm just trying to find value, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Well, anytime. No, any sport, anytime, you're always looking for value. And no matter what we're talking about. I'm just trying to think of, you know, does Swerve get back in that picture? Does
like
Will
Ricochet,
Ospreay
no.
get? Ricochet's a no.
Yeah.
Ricochet's definitely a no. I mean, he teased, you know, Mark Briscoe, you know, having a chance. Like, Mark Briscoe's never going to be AEW World Champion. But, I mean, I think in terms of who takes the title, I think the possibilities are endless. They've got a lot of guys that can challenge for the championship.
Like, there's a Sami Zayn, Mark Briscoe thing going on right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Sammy's more eloquent on the microphone. A little easier to follow sometimes, but...
Well, come on!
What?
Leave him alone!
Why? He brought it up. It was just a critique.
He's an everyman, Briscoe. I don't know anyone else that's a chicken farmer, I guess. But point is, though, is that he's
represents
an everyman.
Everyman.
Yeah, he's an everyman. Don't you see he's an everyman?
I mean, don't get me wrong, like, he's over. Like, Mark Briscoe is really over right now, and I think they want to take advantage of that while they can, which is why I think he got the shout-out. Now he gets the match against MJF next week on Dynamite. So there's some interesting things there. But I think you want to – I guess let's – we've had this conversation. How long do you think Hangman has the championship? 4 months? 6 months?
I think for the end of the year. I think in 2026 yeah. he's still champion. They got to go through World's End. World's End's in Chicago, by the way. What a surprise. Yeah. It's not Chicago, it's Hoffman Estates, pain in the ass to get to, at the Now Arena. So he's still champion through the year. People love him. You just mentioned it. People love Hangman Page, and people want to see see other wrestlers go after him for the championship. Mox is out. Mox should take time off. Now is the
Hopefully.
Time. He had to remove, because it doesn't make sense for him to roll back out there. What are you there for now, right?
Yeah. Like, I think you could do some interesting things if the other members of the if the other members of the Death Riders are around. Like, they're just kind of this directionless group of, okay, what do they do? Mox is gone. He won't return our phone calls. What do we do? I think you can do something fun there. But yeah, I think Mox should be off TV for a while. I agree with that.
I think some of the top names, you mentioned Darby Allin part of that as well, because he keeps propelling from ceilings. Please stop doing that. Just walk out like everybody else, please.
No, he's not going to.
Just stop doing that. It's just, I get a little queasy. I just saw Mary J. Blige do the same thing at the United Center, by the way. My wife and I went to see Mary J. Blige.
Wait, she was jumping off of rafters?
No, she was on like the, you know, the scissors lift thing. Where you go from one end to the other. And it's being held by cables, right? And
yeah.
I have a queasy feeling about that. I never like to see that. I don't want to see
that's people fair.
Propelling from stuff or being like, because it's just like anything can happen. Yeah, I don't want to see that. So I'm very queasy about that. But I think we mentioned the top names. But I think whatever it is, because, and by the way, we should mention Ospreay too, even though he's got no spine, no back anymore, and in pain. He'll be part of that mix as well.
Okay. How is he coming back in time for Forbidden Door if his back's that jacked up? Like, wouldn't it be best for all involved if he just took a little bit more time?
When I heard him explain this with a C4, C8,
yeah,
whatever, and when I heard him, or C2, C8, whatever it was, I thought, oh, so we won't see you for the rest of the year, right, Will?
Mm-hmm.
No, I got to be at this O2 show. And I get it, but man, like, Will Ospreay only has one speed. So,
yeah. Well, again, he's like Bryan Danielson. Like Danielson can't, oh, hey, Bryan, take it easy. What does that mean? You know, like he's, yeah, so I think Ospreay would be on the list, but I think the back, I mean, Swerve Strickland's on the list. They've got a lot of options, and I think that's a good thing. They found a way to keep everybody near that title picture that we think, you know. And again, like, if you need someone just to challenge quickly, Samoa Joe can always do that. Mm-hmm. They've got a list of people, and I think their roster's in a really good spot in terms of challenging Hangman Adam Page going forward. But we move on to number three with SummerSlam this weekend, the first ever two-night SummerSlam. What are you looking forward to the most? I have the list of matches in front of me. Night one will feature Tiffany Stratton defending her WWE Women's Championship against Jade Cargill. It'll feature the celebrity tag match of Randy Orton and Jelly Roll versus Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. Gunther will defend his World Heavyweight Championship against CM Punk. The Judgment Day will defend the Women's Tag Team Championships against Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. Roman Reigns and Jey Uso against Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed on night one as well. And then Sami Zayn versus Karrion Kross in a singles match where if Kross wins, Zayn has to say Kross was right. If Zayn wins, Kross must say I was wrong. Night two.
Oh, God. Wait. Let's narrow it down. Let's just do night one.
Okay.
Because then we can narrow it down. Okay. First of all, that last match you said was ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
But the stipulation's ridiculous, all right?
I mean, just give me I quit. I think that's where. Just give me the I quit match.
Yeah.
It's pretty much I respect you. Like that kind of, like, I don't know why that's the stipulation. Is that going to be on a mic? Will the referee say it? Like, hey, here's the microphone. Say it.
Well, yeah, after you like, pin them or whatever, like, okay, now you have to say it. Or do they wait till Monday Night Raw? I don't know. I just know those are the stipulations.
You know what? This might surprise you. I'm really interested in Gunther and CM Punk to see how that match goes. I'm interested.
I really liked Punk's impassioned promo on Monday night, going toe-to-toe with Gunther in the promo to, you know, sell this match. I'm really interested because I'm conflicted on which way this goes, because Gunther has had long championship reigns, and then his was abruptly ended when they decided to do Jey Uso, who was basically a transition champion, to go back to Gunther so he could face Goldberg and now face Punk. And if Punk wins, then he's another transitional champion. So that's really interesting. But at the same time, if Punk doesn't win this, unless you get interference from a Seth Rollins returning, I'm not sure where CM Punk goes after this if he doesn't win the championship. So I am very intrigued in terms of the direction of both of these characters going forward.
I think that as a sleeper, I think Judgment Day against Charlotte Flair and her tag team partner
Alexa Bliss, who
Alexa Bliss might be good.
Oh my goodness! Like she took a pretty tough fall doing her Twisted Bliss on SmackDown on Friday, and again led to a great visual of like the blood everywhere. And then they just kind of let that go for the interview segment or the backstage segment they did with her and Charlotte Flair. But whoo, tough Twisted Bliss on the outside.
Yeah, she looked like she wasn't confident in it. And you could always tell, right? Don't know if I should do this. Oh, well, F it. I'm going. And then, bam, you saw that. So I think that could be a really good matchup. A matchup that I don't think will be good in night one. Tiffy and Jade might be tough. Tiffy's going to have to slow down for Jade, if you know what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Jade's still colored by the numbers. It's not bad, Gabe. It's not bad. Yep. Is it because she's different, somewhat different from AEW? I'm just saying that I'm not sure if that's going to be a dynamic match. Like, Tiffy, someone that can catch up to Tiffy's speed and moves. I don't know if that's speed versus power. I don't know how they're going to put that match together. But I don't think that's going to be a Matt classic.
If you, because I mean, I think we talk about this on the men's side a lot, you know, like AJ Styles can't really have a bad match. Will Ospreay can't really have a bad match.
Right.
Who's that on the women's side? AEW or WWE?
Athena can't have a bad match.
That's true.
Tony Storm can't have a bad match on AEW. That's for sure. On the women's side, like, you know,
is it Bayley for WWE? Is she the best in-ring performer they have?
That's a good question. I think that that's – she's definitely top on the list. I haven't seen a bad Bayley match.
Yeah.
Have you?
No, not that I can think of. And I like when I think of a lot of the great WWE women's matches over the last handful of years, like her name is top of my list quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that that's – I think that's a top name. I can't say Charlotte because we've seen Charlotte gum up some matches and kind of do some shoot work stuff. I don't know. Like the stuff with Nia Jax was weird. You know, that was a little strange.
Io was probably on that list.
Becky Lynch.
Yeah, Becky's on that list. I think she's really underrated as an in-ring performer. Like because she gets so much credit for her character and mic work. Yeah, I think you might be right. But either way, I think the point I'm making is none of those people are in this match. And I think that's in order to have like an all-time classic with Jade right now, because again, she was just so new to the business. And I think that's the type of person you would need. Not to say that they won't come up with something good, but I'll tell you what, Jelly Roll looked better than I thought he would. Again, they were bumping their ass off for him in the ring, you know, as he's doing those shoulder tackles. So he's going to be limited, but with the three guys he has working around him, I think they can work around his limitations.
I think that works out, and he cares. That's the one thing that wrestlers care about is like, hey, are you going to put the work in? Hey, you're going to lose the weight? Hey, you know some moves? You got to concentrate? And I think they respect him for that.
Well, and I think we'll probably get to this. We will get to this coming up in just a little bit in news and notes. I think that's where they lost Travis Scott.
You love WWE, but you don't want to work. So,
but that's why someone like Logan Paul, who's been fantastic and is now more superstar than anything, somebody like Jelly Roll, somebody like Bad Bunny, when they come in and they want to, hey, we're going to put in the work. And respect the business. That's when you get the respect of everybody in the back.
What about night two, Gabe?
So night two, we have the six-pack TLC match for the WWE Tag Team Championship featuring the Wyatt Six, Phoenix, and Andrade, DIY, Fraxium, Motor City Machine Guns, and the Street Profits. We have Dominic Mysterio putting his Intercontinental Championship on the line against AJ Styles. Solo Sikoa putting up his United States Championship in a cage match with Fatu. Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyria in a no disqualification, no count out, last chance match for the women's IC title. Triple threat for the Women's World Championship. Naomi defending against Rhea and Io Sky. And then John Cena in a street fight, putting on his WWE Undisputed Championship up against Cody Rhodes. So six matches each night.
Man, night two rules.
Night two.
Let me tell you.
Night two. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where the bathroom break is in night two.
Night two is amazing. Okay, so that TLC match probably should lead off. I think it should lead off the night two, because it's going to be just bodies everywhere flying all over the place. And they're going to put some importance on the tag team championships. I love that. I got two bangers as far as women matches. I got the Naomi match and I got the Becky Lynch match. Holy shit, that's going to be hard to be able to follow. Like, that's going to be great, both of those.
Well, and then Sokoa, honestly, the one that's going to be the worst in the ring is the WWE Championship, just because Cena's limited at this point, right? Because, like you said, I mean, the women's match are bangers. Solo and Fatu in a steel cage? Yeah. Hell yeah. And Mysterio and Styles has the possibility of being, like, the match of the weekend, like, actual in-ring match of the weekend, because of how good AJ is and how much Dominic just continues to grow.
Just keep the Judgment Day away, and I know there's going to be some kind of fall to Raw and outside interference, but I'd like for those two to just go at it to see how good Dom really is against a top performer like AJ Styles. I like to have the one-on-one. If there's a pull in the trunks and Dom cheats, that's fine. I just like for Dom to just do it himself.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see
that. Or at least just let him go for 15 minutes before all the shenanigans start.
Yeah. Boy, that's – I think you called it, man. Because it's Cena Rhodes, it's like, okay, that's the bathroom break maybe.
last match of the night, like, all right, guys, that's it for me. I'm going to beat traffic. I'm good. It was a good night.
The main event. Rock coming out? No. All right. Well,
all right.
No Rock. Well, good night, everybody. Wait a minute. You can't leave us a minute. I saw the best. I saw all the best matches. Boy, that's tough. So if on one side we agree, Gunther, CM Punk. On the other side, you know, that Rhea Ripley match, that could be some Naomi and Io Sky.
Well, again, because all three of them are fantastic. Yeah. Like, you can trust all three of them. Naomi's probably going to do something crazy. Io might, who knows what Io is going to jump off of. Like,
wow.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, like, well, and in terms of Becky Lynch and Lyra, well, I, again, waiting for more growth from the Lyra character, and her promo was fine, I guess.
She said SummerSlam's in 2 weeks.
Yeah. That, right? Yeah. It wasn't great when she was out there by herself. But the one thing I know she can do is go in the ring.
Yes.
You know, so, yes. Like, she's not gotten a promo before, so I don't care. Like, we've reached match time. Like, that match is going to be awesome. I think the one I'm looking forward to most is, again, maybe it's going to get ruined, but I think Dominic and AJ Styles are the one I'm looking forward to the most, because I think that can just be a really good in-ring, and it's going to have a schmazzy finish because Judgment Day is going to get involved. But let those two cook for 15, 20 minutes and then do whatever you're going to do at the end. I'm looking forward to that.
Some glaring omissions on this card. And again, they're only doing six-pack each night. But I don't get a SummerSlam with Stephanie Vaquer, huh? She's not on the card?
No Bailey.
No Bailey, no Julia. Okay.
Nope.
I think we're missing some people there, but I understand everybody can't be on the card, but I'm just saying, like, you invest so much time in a lot of these people. No New Day either. So you invest so much TV time in these people, no Americano. So you're missing some people that we watch every week and they can't be on this card. Too bad. It's really too bad.
Yeah, but I think, again, this looks, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, can SummerSlam make up for WrestleMania? Because we talked about WrestleMania, how it kind of felt like you had enough, like maybe 7 or 8 really good, well-built-up matches we were looking forward to. Like, you had enough for one night, and you spread all those good matches over the course. Like, it feels like you have two pretty solid nights in night one,
yeah.
Night two.
You want to have some happiness at the end of both nights of some distinction. So Punk goes over? Because if he doesn't, there's no ticker tape or no fireworks for Gunther beating Punk, is it? If that's the main event on night one?
No.
And it is.
I mean, you would think it's the main event. They didn't say – I was waiting for them to specifically say on Monday that it was going to be the main event. And the fact that Roman is also on that night makes me wonder what's actually going to be the main event.
It's Jelly Roll. They'll have Jelly Roll and Orton.
Who came out?
Sky.
Like, Jelly Roll is, like, he didn't come out to, like, one of his songs. He had to come out to a Toby Keith song on Monday. That was interesting.
That's strange.
Like, yeah, you're an artist. Like, come out to one of your songs. Seems a little more, but.
Or come out to this. I hear voices in my head.
Yeah.
They talk to me. They understand. Like, oh, he's singing. He's singing Orton out.
Yeah.
like what's he? I hear voices in my head.
Yeah, and that's the way he sang it too. It's like, okay, yes, that's the way you want to do it. Oh. We move on to news and notes this week, where, again, a couple of things to worth touching on. Tony Khan, in an interview recently, saying that the AEW Women's Tag Team Championships on hold now because of injuries. Look, I think we've talked about this. To me, there are already too many championships in AEW and ROH. We don't need, like, I'd rather subtract championships. I mean, how many does Dustin Rhodes have now? Is he a triple champion?
It's three, I think.
We don't need that. We don't need to. We can start trimming championships, to me, before you start adding championships.
Says a lot for the injury bug for AEW when you're only working once every other week, maybe once a month for some of these people. Says a lot. You get out there once you get injured, you got to be able to build up that resistance. You got to get on the road, or you get these people need more time in the ring so they can build up calluses of their body. Get out there one time and get injured. So I can understand why these guys get injured, these women and men. They're not there enough. They're not taking enough bumps.
Yeah. Former WWE chairman Vince McMahon found himself in a car crash, allegedly going 80 to 90 miles per hour in Connecticut. He was cited. He is going to have to go to court. Barbara Dolan, who on a Facebook post, the person that he hit, is the founder and chief investment officer at BD8 Capital, saying that she was lucky to survive. She shut off the road after being catapulted over 100 yards. So not some good details about this. Some stories about Vince McMahon's driving coming out in the couple of days since this accident happened. Some of the different stories of some people refusing to drive with Vince McMahon. I saw one story involving Jim Ross, who once rode with McMahon and then said, "Vince, I love you. You're a friend, but I also love my children and I'd like to see them again," and refused to ride with Vince McMahon ever again. So pretty scary accidents. And luckily all survived. Vince is due in court though, due to this accident now.
And rightfully so. Yeah. I've heard those stories too about Vince. Like, you know, you would think a multimillionaire billionaire would have like a limo or some kind of something. No, he doesn't do that, Gabe. He drives himself. And by the way, that whole thing with Jim Ross, that was like in a Lincoln Town Car. So it wasn't like a fast car. It was like a big-ass boxy car that he was driving. He's very reckless. Not just as his accident. I've heard the stories in the 90s and 2000s about him. Hey, man, he's 8, and now he's 80? Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Triple H announcing on social media that Triple Mania from Triple A is going to be streaming on WWE's YouTube August 16th from Mexico City. Dominic Mysterio, Dragon Lee, El Grande Americano challenging Vikingo for the Triple A championship in that main event, Triple Mania 33.
That's really awesome. I hear a lot of great things about Triple A since the event that they had not too long ago. Business is picking up, you know, from that regard. So that's great. And also we saw over the weekend, Americano. I'm not sure who's under that mask. Not sure who it is. But apparently a babyface Americano.
Well, we've got two Americanos.
We do?
Well, because you had the one that came out and then a second one came out in what match was that on Monday Night Raw? Now I'm just blanking on the match. Yeah. Like two different ones came out.
I think you're mistaken. I think it's the same Americano. Because that's what Graves told me. Graves told me it was the same Americano.
Yeah, well, but as Michael Cole pointed out, one was a full foot taller than the other one.
God bless. I hope that was Mysterio. I hope he's like, "I'm going to be a heel. Watch this. I'm going to be a heel." I hope that was Mysterio underneath that little mask. I hope it was.
And then we mentioned it earlier, WWE and Travis Scott reportedly having a falling out, no real details involved. But again, when you start picking up some of the crumbs from the story and reporting, didn't seem like he wanted to put in the work necessary. Going down to the Performance Center to start working and doing more stuff in ring, obviously a little bit of heat on him for hitting Cody Rhodes as hard as he did at WrestleMania. So whatever plans they had for Travis Scott seemingly no longer happening.
Hope WWE thinks it was worth it to invest in someone that's not going to invest in you. You know, like you see Jelly Roll and some of these other guys involved in WWE, and Travis Scott, he might love WWE, but he's got all these other projects. He does not have time. So I hope that was worth it to WWE for him to be part of something and now just ghost on the company.
And then finally, now this comes out, I haven't had a chance to listen to it today, but Cody Rhodes on the Bill Simmons podcast. And in some of the promotional clips that went out for Cody Rhodes, there was a quote of him saying about AEW. In the end, the way I see it is this. If I feel disrespected ever at WWE, that's one thing. That's a company that's the Yankees. It's the flagship of it all. If I ever felt there at WWE that I was a number on a sheet, maybe. But feeling disrespected at something I built with my friends that we built, feeling disrespected there, I wouldn't stand for it. Brandy and I both, I'm so blessed to have her. It was one of those things where, bleep it, I did way more than you think. And you're going to find out the moment I'm out the door. So apparently he felt disrespected at AEW, which is the reason why he ultimately left.
Yeah, I heard it just as you read it. I saw the quote and, you know, I'm glad he felt that way. He just wanted to prove it to Tony Khan that, hey, you know what? I can be a star without you. And that's exactly what happened. I think he's talking directly to Tony Khan. It is not, I don't think, at the Young Bucks, because he said some nice things apparently about the Young Bucks and for Kenny Omega. So clearly he's talking about Tony Khan. Tony Khan might be nice to a lot of people. He might be a decent enough businessman. But as far as relationships are concerned, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, a number of people walking out the door. I know you can't be friendly to everybody, or you just can't, you know, you can't get along with everybody in business. But Cody Rhodes is a big fumble. Big fumble. And so now Cody's the guy, and, you know, CM Punk is the guy in WWE as well. And AEW has not recovered since those two left as far as being the main attraction as far as pro wrestling. New, fresh, different. They have their audience. But when Punk left and when Cody left, I think that was tough for AEW to overcome so far.
Yeah, he mentions by name the Jackson, the Young Bucks, and Kenny. So I don't think it's a problem with his friends that he built the place with. It seems like, yes, it would be a problem with Tony Khan. But again, haven't seen or heard the entire interview. Those are just the promotional clips of Cody Rhodes on the Bill Simmons show. All right, what'd you have? Matches of the week.
Well, it starts with Hangman Page and Moxley, right? Dynamite?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. That is number one. My number two, I go to your girl Athena. Their tag match was fantastic.
Yes, it was, for a standby match. seemingly at the end. Oh, we got time for more matches? Put some more matches out there. Finn Balor and JD McDonagh against the LWO to make you think that the LWO had a chance. I think that's the best outing they've had in quite some time, LWO.
Yeah, that was the one match, because Monday Night Raw was mostly underwhelming, and I've kind of gotten to a point where a lot of – and again, I don't want to seem like that's a huge criticism of WWE. I just feel that there's so much that goes into these shows now, especially for WWE when you're doing two-night shows. I expect them almost to – like tomorrow night, I'm expecting them to completely mail it in. Like the people that are going to be wrestling at MetLife Stadium, I'm not expecting them to do much, because you want to put them in bubble wrap and protect them so you can have the big show. So there wasn't – and the fact that those two tag teams that you mentioned aren't on the big show – they can go out and put on a really good one. But otherwise, the main storylines that you care about, you're just kind of going through the motions to make sure everybody stays healthy.
Gabe, is there anything else that you liked this week?
I'm trying to think.
It's just that it's been – there's more interesting segments.
Yeah, than matches. Yeah. And again, the fact that – I mean, Mox and Hangman took up how much time last night? You know, they took up a big time in – the match that kicked off Dynamite took up a lot of time last night too, so just wasn't a lot of time for matches.
I want to give the shout out to to the Young Bucks yesterday in their matchup against the Newport 100s, the pack of cigarettes that they took on, the Outrunners. I howled laughing at the Outrunners being introduced, and then just in the corner, the Young Bucks, like a couple of jobbers, and on the screen it just said, like, you know,
talent name.
Talent name. I howled. They're sitting in the corner. I think next time we see them, they don't even get an introduction. They just get
Chicago, like Chicago caught on. They were yelling, jobbers, jobbers, jobbers. Like Chicago caught on, like listening to that, just sitting at home. Like that was fantastic.
You got to take another step, though. Young Bucks need to lose that match on Wednesday. You didn't take another step. Like, but they won the match, so they're still like in there. They're hanging in there. Oh my God, I howled when I saw that. They're in the corner just ready, like, you know, just like option B, team B. Just sitting there, like, ladies and gentlemen, Nick and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks. Because there's no inflection from the ring announcer at all, just a couple of jobbers. I love that. I laughed my ass off. Like, they're doing a great job with this. It's fun.
Yeah. The good fallout from losing their EVP titles. Like, again, I know the mileage can vary for some people on the Young Bucks, but I enjoy them in the way that they're able to kind of reinvent themselves time and time again. If you happen to miss any of today's show or any past interviews we've done, follow, subscribe us on YouTube. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling is where you can find the show. Enjoy SummerSlam this weekend. As we just covered, seems like it is absolutely going to be a banger. Make sure you listen to whatever CDs you have. You know, shout out to CDs and CD players, I guess, is what Hoodie is doing there. But we will be back to talk about, react to SummerSlam, react to everything happening in AEW next week, right here on GKW.